We continue our study in the second book of Samuel. We're just beginning the sixth chapter, and in this chapter we have the story of David bringing the ark to Jerusalem. In the first verse, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. So here were 30,000 chosen men that David gathered together to go get this ark. This was going to be quite an occasion. This was going to be a memorable event with 30,000 chosen people going, and it seems that there were many others that went besides them. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bela of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. Now this word Bela, which is spelled here B-A-A-L-E, it's also spelled B-A-A-L-A-H, is another word for Kirjath-Jearim. Kirjath-Jearim is the place the ark had been so long. It first went to the Philistines for about 7 months, and they brought it back to Israel, and it stayed in Beth-Shemesh for a short time. Then it was taken to Kirjath-Jearim, where it was left in the house of a man named Abinadab, and Abinadab was given the pleasure as well as the responsibility of caring for this ark. It stayed in Bela, or Kirjath-Jearim, for many years. It was here practically all the reign of Samuel, which is 40 years, and Samuel's reign overlapped with the reign of Saul, and Saul reigned for 40 years. So here we are about 10 years after Saul's death. So this ark was here for 40, 50, maybe 60 years at this one place, a long time. And we wonder why the ark would be allowed to remain outside of the mainstream of the affairs of Israel for so long. There's only one other mention made of this ark while it's located at Kirjath-Jearim all these years, and that's when one time Saul sought to inquire of it. But we find in this sense that it's very symbolic and typical of the church. There have been times in which the church was almost lost from sight, so far as history goes. There are times in which the church hasn't even been recorded in history. That is the true church. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." We find that this period of time that this woman or this church was in the wilderness was actually 1260 years. And so if the church can be removed that long from the mainstream of society, unknown in the pages of history for such a long time, then certainly the ark, which was a type of the church, could also be a long time out of the pages of history. We wonder why Israel didn't restore the ark into their worship sooner than they did. Why they waited so long. Maybe it was due to neglect. Maybe it was due to a removal of their feelings from God. And maybe it was due to the fact that they just didn't seem to have opportunity. But nevertheless, now that David has restored this kingdom under one king, he has firmly established himself, he decided to go get the ark. And they're going to bring it from Bela of Judah to Jerusalem. And this verse 2 further says, "Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims." That is, this was the ark of God, and it was called by the name of this Lord of hosts. It was called by the name of God. There are not many things that we can give God's name to, but this ark was called by his name. It was the ark of God. Verse 3, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart." Now Abinadab might not have even been alive at this time. He had been given the charge and trust and care of this ark for so long, but now his sons were following after his tradition. They were also in a position to care for this ark. They no doubt had grown quite familiar with it, maybe even so familiar that it had become commonplace to some extent, and they didn't regard the high and holy nature of it. But nevertheless, they are the ones that are driving the new cart. It seems that Ahio is leading the cart, making the way for it, and Uzzah is walking along by the side of the ark. Now let's notice a very interesting thing here. The fact that this ark was placed upon a cart went against the commands of God. In Numbers chapter 7, beginning with verse 6, "And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites, two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. Then verse 9, but unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. So the Kohathites, which were to have the responsibility of bearing this ark about, didn't have a wagon, didn't have a cart. Moses gave them none because they were to carry this ark upon their shoulders. So we see here a disobedience of God's command in the very beginning of the moving of the ark. They put it on a new cart. This was wrong. They should not have done this. New cart or old cart, it didn't matter. This was not God's way of moving the ark. And consequently, we're going to see then that this was a disobedience. This was an act of disobedience. This was something that God would have to be displeased with. Verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. So now we see that they've loaded this ark onto the cart. They're bringing it out from the place that it's been for so long, so many years, and they are going toward Jerusalem. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. So the house of Israel is so ecstatic with joy. They are so highly pleased now that they are again bringing the ark back into the service of God. They are again incorporating it into the mainstream of their worship, of their public life. Here, this that's been so private for so long, so removed from them, is now about to be restored to its rightful place as the very center of their worship. And so they are very pleased with this, and they are playing before the Lord on all manner of instruments. And this word for fir wood, rather than meaning wood, actually means that they were playing with all their might or with a great deal of strength. Verse 6, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and the Lord smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Here we see a disobedience of the will of God. First of all, God didn't want this ark carried on a cart. He also didn't want it to be touched. It was only to be touched by the priests, not by the Levites. And so Uzzah violated the will of God here. Man can be ever so zealous, he can be ever so sincere, but when he does things different from what God has instructed him to do, then he's violating the will of God. Now, no doubt Uzzah was a most sincere person. No doubt he was wanting to do the best thing, but he wasn't doing it, either out of ignorance or out of neglect, out of the fact that this ark had grown so commonplace. We don't know exactly why, but he violates a will of God here. In Numbers 4:15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bury it, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. So these sons of Kohath were to bear the ark. We've already read that they were not to have any oxen or wagons. They were to bear it on their shoulders, but they were not to touch it. And they were not to touch it lest they die. Now this same rule applied to Adam and Eve. If they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would die, which they did. And here in the case of Uzzah, this same rule, not to touch it lest they die, he did die. And God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. Now, Uzzah died not only a spiritual death, but also a physical death. But the fact that we will die when we sin is immediately the spiritual death. Then the physical death, the death of the flesh, may come later. It may not be immediately manifest as the death that we're experiencing, but the spiritual death occurs right then. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. And the day that they ate of this forbidden fruit, in that day they died. It was a spiritual separation from God. And so it is. We also, whenever we sow sin against God, even though it's right by the ark, so to speak, even though it's right in the act of carrying out an illegal worship to God, we may die at that very spot in that very place. Now we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, when the account of this is also given there, that it strongly implied that one of their major sins was the fact that they did have it on this cart. In 1 Chronicles 15, beginning with the 12th verse, "And said unto them, You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord." So when they got this ark the second time, they tried to correct the wrong that they'd done. And David tells them here it's because they didn't do it properly the first time. It's because that they didn't bring it like they should have. And so they sought him not after the due order. There is an order that we must follow when we seek after God. We must seek after God according to the due order. We must seek after God according to the way that he has prescribed for us to go. And to do it any other way, regardless of how sincere we are, regardless of how great our motive may be, is not excusable. We must seek God after the due order. And so this second time, they had the priest to bear this ark upon the shoulders according to the law of Moses, according to the way God wanted them to do. And had they done this the first time, then no doubt they would not have had this kind of a problem. Now, true it was, when the Philistines brought the ark back years before, they did bring it on a cart. But the Philistines were not children of Israel. They were not the children of God. They did not have to follow the things that God had outlined for his people because they were not following after God. And in the case of the Philistines, they didn't have any Levites there to bear the ark with anyway, and it would have been much better to bear the ark in a cart than to have the priest of Dagon to carry it upon their shoulders. So you cannot let the things that the world does be a guide for you. You cannot let that be your example, because that is not the thing that God wants us to follow. The world, as we know, not being saved, not being in a condition to have their sins forgiven, they're lost. They're going to bear all these iniquities at a future time. And so we cannot compare ourselves with the world. We are in a strict service to God. And yet, whenever we disobey God, we may find ourselves in the same condition Uzzah was in. We may die there by the ark because we disobeyed God. He reached forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, this threshing floor might have been a rough place. It looked like the ark was going to fall off of the cart. And Uzzah was simply trying to steady it. He just wanted to keep it from falling and upsetting itself and hitting the ground. And nevertheless, they had gotten themselves into a position of being disobedient to God. They were not seeking God after the due order. And so we see a great punishment put upon them by God in the instant death of Uzzah. God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. At a future time, David says it was because the Levites were not carrying this on their shoulders like they should have been doing, and they didn't seek God after the due order. Well, we see here then in verse 8, "And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day." That is the breach of Uzzah. And the Lord did make a breach upon Uzzah. The Lord separated Uzzah from himself and from the land of the living. And this had such an effect upon David, until David then named this place the breach of Uzzah. Let's notice now. Verse 8 says, "And David was displeased." Now that is, David had some anger here. David didn't like what happened. And it immediately provoked a sense of anger on the part of David. Here David might have felt like this, and we feel the same way ourselves many times. Here I've gone to all this trouble. This nation's gone to all this trouble. We're trying to get the ark back. We're trying to do some kind of service to God, and now look what happens. Because we don't do things just right, God is not pleased with it. God punishes us. And we don't have a right to feel that way. That's not our privilege to get displeased at what God does. It's not our privilege to feel that God has mistreated us in such a way that we then can feel anger toward God. This was a time for David to stop and to take note of what had happened and to make whatever correction should have been made. And so David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" That's the proper question to ask right there. How shall I do this? I see that I've done it wrong. We see that we've made a mistake. Let's stop and figure out how it should be done. And so it is today. When we render a worship service to God, one that God has outlined for us to do, one that God has prescribed for us, let us always ask the question, how shall I do this? How does God want it done? If God has prescribed something for us to do, then God also has given us information about how to do it. We either have an example of His faithful people as to how they did a certain thing, or we have a divine and positive command from God about how to do it. If we have no example, if we have no divine and positive command from God, then we shouldn't be doing it. We don't have any authority to do it. And so the question is a good one. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And so David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. So now we see that David is so afraid of not doing things right until he gets more information. He just refuses to bring the ark into the city of David. He leaves it aside into the house of a person named Obed-Edom the Gittite. So David goes for more information. He goes to find out how it should be done. And he's afraid to do anything until he knows how to do it, which is a good attitude. It's the attitude that we must have. If we don't want to be in the same condition Adam and Eve was in the same condition Uzzah was in, doing something wrong lest we die, and we're talking about a spiritual death now, then let's get the information down right and find out what God wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. How to do is just as important as what to do. Just as Nadab and Abihu worshiped God, but they were put to death because they used strange fire. In other words, just plain fire is not fire. It had to be the right kind of fire. And so it is here, moving the ark in an improper way and touching it when it shouldn't have been touched was not the right way to do it. True, he was taking it to Jerusalem, but it wasn't the way God wanted it carried, resulting in his death. And so, we today, when we worship God, when we do something as holy and as sacred as observing the communion, if we do not do this in a proper way, if we do not do it according to the proper manner, then we're going to be condemned for doing it that way. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, to do something unworthily means to do it in the wrong manner, in the wrong way. And so if we want to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, let's take the communion in the wrong way and we'll be in the same condition Uzzah was in. Now we see that Obed-Edom must have done the right things about the ark. Verse 11 says, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." When the things of God are used properly, whenever they are respected and used according to the way God would have them to be used, then they bring about a blessing instead of a curse. This house of Obed-Edom was blessed, he and all his household. Whereas David and the 30,000 and all of Israel that were so interested in bringing the ark to the city of Jerusalem, when they misused it, when they handled it in the wrong way, when they didn't follow the command of the law of Moses, then they were all thwarted. They were made afraid. They could not do what they wanted to do. But the house of Obed-Edom was blessed. All his household was blessed. And it had to be because they were handling this ark in the right manner. Verse 12, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So They could look and see an example now. Those that handled the ark right, those that did things according to the due order, received a blessing. So the ark really wasn't something bad. It was something to bring forth a blessing. And it was told to David. Been over there for 3 months now. And Obed-Edom was doing well. He was thriving. He was prospering as a result of the ark being there. And so they could see then that it's simply a matter of doing things according to the way God wants it done. Worshiping Him according to the due order. And so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And as we read over there in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 15, he had them to do it the right way this time. The Levites took the ark and they bore it upon their shoulders like they should have done. No using of a cart, some kind of a new way to do things. God didn't want an improvement upon His method. He didn't want anybody to modify it. He didn't want anybody to modernize it anyway. They carried it in the old way, buried it upon the shoulders. They didn't touch the ark, and so this time they were able to be successful. So the great lesson in this for us is that we must do things according to the way God wants them done. Let's not neglect to attend to the details that God has given us as to how to go about serving Him. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.